Hello. Welcome to another episode of Remote Pep Talks, Project Pitch Polish. That's right, this is another interview edition of Remote Pep Talks, which I'm liberally sprinkling in because I think it's fun to kind of mix up the formats and push ourselves in terms of what we're doing. And this episode, I'm delighted to be able to talk to my friend Jillian Vorse. And she is someone, well, you'll hear as I introduce her in the episode and we get to chatting, you'll hear all about Jillian. She coins a beautiful turn of phrase here about dusting off the rust, which I think is delightful. I like that. Dusting off the rust. So let's go to my conversation now with the multi-talented, multi-hyphenate Jillian Vorse for a little episode of Project Pitch Polish that I like to call Dusting Off the Rust. All right, welcome to Remote Pep Talks with me, Ryan Miller. This is a special episode because I get to have a guest, and rather than just me giving some advice and ruminating on some thoughts and ideas, I actually get to have a one-to-one conversation with someone whom I enjoy speaking to. And this episode, I'm very excited to have Jillian Vorse on. She is the CEO of, I think, of the Jillian Group. She should be, because it's her name is right in the title. And I'm not even entirely sure how we're connected. I know we got connected on, I believe, on LinkedIn. We might unpack this. But I met Jillian. We had coffee and did a workshop and everything. And I was like, I really like this person. Lots to talk about, interesting thoughts, lots of cool stuff that she's done and is doing. And so I messaged her and I said, Jillian, you should come on Remote Pep Talks when I do a Project Pitch Polish episode, and I can talk with you and maybe give you some useful pointers on your pitch and how you talk about yourself. But also, it's a projected opportunity for us to hang out and chat. So Jillian, great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I really appreciate it. And for sure, I definitely need my pitch polished. So it sounds like I'm in the right place.
Well, that is the ostensibly the reason why we're together. And in fact, it didn't occur to me at the time, but you and I actually first met in person at a pitch workshop I was giving probably 8 or 10 months ago, it might have been.
Correct. Yes.
What I remember about that encounter was that, I mean, I teach a lot of workshops, and sometimes there's people who talk or during the workshop, and it's not helpful, or they interrupt me, or they correct me or something. And of course, it can be very confronting, you know, or very frustrating. And what happened with you is you were very, very forthcoming. And I was like, yeah, what Jillian is saying? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And you would ask these questions like, Ryan, when you said this, did you mean, and just give me this subtle opportunity to clarify something that I'd said that didn't make sense. So it was like, it was a great assist. And I wanted to, I know I thanked you for that before, but thank you again for that.
That was a really great experience. And I was a little bit nervous afterwards that I didn't want to be like overstepping or be that annoying person that you just so eloquently described. I was trying not to be that. But for some reason, it's one of those click moments. As soon as we met, I felt like I knew you. And then as soon as you started the workshop and I was just kind of observing you, I just had the sense that I've known you. It just felt like very comfortable. And I felt like I could joke with you, and I was understanding your references and like your analogies and things. And it was like funny. And I could also see how talented you were and how much you brought to the table. And it was just a very playful environment that I, and also very motivating for me, like sitting in that workshop with you, it fired me up and made me feel like, geez, I need to get, you know, kind of dust off the rust and get back into the workshop game myself. Cause I used to do quite a lot of those and I haven't in a number of years, but in any case, yeah, your workshop was excellent. And just to kind of expand the scope for a moment, we first met through the online networking community, the ONS, Online
That's
Networking with a
Spin. Right, we did.
Yes, through Veronica, Veronica's ONS, way back when. So we connected there, and then we jumped onto LinkedIn, and then I got to follow some of your content, and that it started to resonate with me. And then I saw you did some events, and I'm like, oh, and I saw the ones that I had seen, I wasn't able to attend or whatever it was. And then finally you had this one. It was like on a Saturday or something in our city. And I thought, well, I can, you know, hop on my big bad bike and get there. So I was so happy for the chance to be able to go and like see you again and also participate in a workshop, especially with that topic, the pitch workshop. I'm like, that's perfect for me. So it was really amazing to be able to meet you in it. Yeah. So hopefully I wasn't too disruptive.
As I just said, you were not disruptive at all. And I think as we're both from North America, I think there were a few, when you said, you know, you clicked with some of the references and stuff. I think there were a few, at least one, maybe more, that it was just for you. And it was just for you and me, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, and Jillian, because you talked about dusting the rust off. Which isn't an expression, but I like it.
Go with it. Yeah.
No, I'll roll with it for sure. And I think, can you just give me a snapshot? Because I know you've done a TED Talk. You've written books. You feel like operated and maybe still operate in, you know, kind of elevated professional circles with, you know, lots of money and power and things. And, you know, I don't know if I'm saying this in an inappropriate way, but you've also alluded to that you're sort of have taken a back seat, or not a back seat, but taken a step back and are now looking. So can you talk a little bit about that past context and where you are now, and maybe even where you're thinking of going? Or I'll probably interrupt you before then, but
sure. Yeah. Interrupt at any time. So let's see. So I started my first company when I was 20. And I just turned 45 somehow in a flash. So now, yeah, that was 25 years ago. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So I haven't had a job now in about 23 years. I've been creating my own thing, building brands, doing all kinds of entrepreneurial things. And about 12, 13 years ago, I started an agency. And at the time, I didn't realize I was starting an agency, because the years prior, I had spent a majority of my time either raising money and chairing boards and doing a lot of philanthropic work and community service and volunteering and all kinds of things. I spent a lot of time doing that and also building relationships. So that was, I often joke and say that I got my PhD in building relationships. So I did those two things until, like I said, about 12 or 13 years ago, I started this agency, because relationships along the way started sending me referrals or started asking me to help them. It's true that because of the space I was in, starting a business young, well, back then it was young, now 20-year-olds are like, you know, billionaires with Bitcoin and craziness. But back then at 20, I was very young. And because I was heavily involved in the nonprofit space and chairing boards, I was most of the time with people who were 20, 30 years my senior. So those relationships ended up being very productive and eventually led to just a stream of referrals that helped me to scale the 1.0 version of my agency, as I call it now, my 1.0 version, scaled to 30 people my first about 12 to 18 months. And then we capped out at around 40 people at one time on payroll, and it was pretty wild. So now to downshift a bit, grew that, had a lot of things going on. It was a wild ride. And then eventually I started feeling like I need to recalibrate a little bit more. And it was around the same time I started realizing that clients, so we originally were kind of in the marketing space, like that's the door that clients would bring us in through, right? I often think of that as like the low hanging fruit, because it's a line item on everybody's budget, like marketing. So we came in through that door. But eventually I felt like this recalibration, it felt like, yeah, the clients that we were working with pretty much across the board, I felt like they had what I call, like, very professional terminology here, they had holes in their bucket. So I started working on process related work. And then fast forward, got pregnant, COVID happened, had a baby, moved to Europe, all within a few years. And so this last piece in terms of the rust factor, I spent the last several years literally deliberately flying under the radar while I very strategically downsized my agency so that I could complete the recalibration to then identify the new direction we wanted to go in. And so that's where I'm at now, is stepping into the 2.0 version of my company. And so the rust that I related, that I mentioned, is, you know, when I was in the kind of heyday, when I was growing and scaling quickly, Q4 of 2014, I had 7 speaking engagements, and I haven't done one since. I've done a bunch of podcast interviews, but not kind of being with a group of people teaching or being on a stage or anything like that. And so I missed that part. So anyhow, that was my attempt to, as succinctly as possible, spitball a bunch of things in attempt to answer a question that I have now forgotten. So there you have it.
Well, mission accomplished. The balls, mm-hmm. the balls have been spit. Yeah. I asked you just to give kind of the background, and I think that happened successfully. So no concerns about that. There's a lot of different places to pick up. Maybe I'll ask you this, which is, what about, so we get your background, the business part is pretty well fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, then COVID happened, I got pregnant, moved to Europe. And that seems to me like it's a pause in your story, which I actually think is probably super interesting as part of your story.
So is it my turn? Tag, yeah, well, you're it. I can jump in there, or are you doing a pregnant pause and I'm waiting for the second half?
I'm just making a really long pause so that everyone really leans in to listen to what I have to say next. No, of course it's for you. Maybe I didn't put as sharp a question mark on the end there, but do you get what what I'm saying there?
Yeah, spot on. And I also think it's the one piece that's most relevant to our topic for today as well, in terms of the pitch, because, frankly, all of the years until I moved here, I never had to pitch. I never did all of the things that are business 101, like the business card and the website and like my elevator speech or elevator pitch or whatever it is, like any of those things. Like, in fact, if people ask me what I did, I would say, I have no idea, or like, ask her, or I just do what I do. Like, I had all these like kind of ridiculous things. And looking back, it's like, you know, it was amazing that I never had to really think about that, because other people did that for me. So other people would say what I did. And so I just had referrals coming. And then, so I would always talk about that, actually, that I would tell clients, like, your pitch doesn't matter because people aren't listening to it. They're going to pay more attention to how they observe you, how you make them feel. So I would always say, and when I used to teach and answer these types of questions, I would say, it's like that quote, nobody cares what you know until they know that you care, kind of thing. It's like, or the whole bit about people will remember how you made them feel, right? Maya Angelou's quote. So yeah, so I never did any of that stuff. If I had time with somebody in an elevator, why would I ever spend it talking about myself? Like, I never would do that. My like secret ninja tip, how to be a professional human being, is I would use that time to find out about that person.
Yeah.
And so part of that early on, being honest, is because I started my first business so young that at least I also had the awareness or humility to realize that I didn't have as much to bring to the table. So I learned very quickly, like, keep my mouth shut, pay attention. And if I'm going to open my mouth, ask questions so that I can learn and I can begin to connect dots. And that's what I did. So that was my, you know, business strategy for many years, which was amazing. Like I said, I didn't have like competition really. I didn't really have all those traditional things. However, it's also true that it made my business very reactive. in part of this transition time for me, like literal transition, it's like for the world, it's transition, like post-COVID, but now I'm also a mom and I'm also in a new country. And for good measure, I shaved my head too, because, well, why the hell not, right? Anyway, so now that I'm on this side of the world, is now the season or the time for me to be proactive with my business, which much more so requires all those business like fundamentals that I was able to skate by for 25 years. So being able to articulate what it is that I do and for who I do and all of these things is something that would be very helpful. And it's frustrating and feels awkward to me, but it's very necessary. So that's part one of my response.
Well, before we get into parts 2 through 9, I want to say that it's so cool that you're going backwards in your business journey.
Yes, Benjamin Button.
As like, you're aging, aging backwards. You're such a baby now. Yeah. Because you have all of this business experience operating at a really high level, and now I feel like you're at or have already gone through a pivot point or a transformation, or there is some clarification there, and I suspect you're being not coy, but slightly self-deprecating in some of what you're saying, because I think there is more clarity there. That's my suspicion than you're letting on. And we'll get into that in a moment. But I'm curious about another thing, and I want to ask you this question, which is when people were doing all of the referrals and the, talking you up, and you would just go, I don't know, I just do what I do. I'm just me, just a little me. What were they saying? Because you must have an idea of what they were saying.
Yeah. So very simple. There's two things. The first one is the most important one of all. And it's the very first incoming call I got that's a lie. It's the second incoming call I got for business. My agency started, right? The second call was, hi, Jillian. It was who's become a dear friend of mine. At the time was more of a colleague kind of a thing, like colleague, the same age as my mother kind of thing. Called and said, hi, Jillian, listen, I know it's about time. She owns an insurance company. She's like, I know I need to, it's time for me to get with the times. I have to use some of this internet and some of this World Wide Web stuff. And, but I don't know. And like I said, this is like 2012, 2013. It's like more than time for her to do this. And she said, but I don't really know where to start, but I trust you. Can I hire you to help me figure out what I need to do? I was like, sure. So she hired me because she trusted me. And so guess what kind of referral she sent? She would articulate that message to people. So that's what kind of multiplied that trust factor. And that's still part of its core for me. Yeah. So that's, I'll just leave that there. So the trust part. The second part was the first incoming call I got was somebody, which is an even weirder scenario. Well, an actual weird scenario. I guess the second one's not too weird. The first one was weird. Said, hi, Jillian, a whole bunch of contacts. And then, so basically this gentleman is a very well known in the higher ed consulting space in the US, like the Ivy League schools and whatnot. And there was an event coming up. I shouldn't go too far, much further in description, but anyways, there was an event coming up with a lot of A players. And he said, and he kind of was talking to himself on the phone, and he was like, yeah, I'd like you to be there so you can do that thing that you do. And can I hire you to come have dinner to meet all these people? And I'm like, sure. So my first, it was like, I often joke, I was like a corporate call girl. So that was the second thing that people would hire me for. The things that they would say is this, do that thing that you do, connecting with people and helping to build relationships, build new relationships quickly and warm them up very quickly through context and being quiet and asking questions and things like this. So that was the second thing. So really the trust part and then connecting, networking, partnerships, all that stuff.
And your instinct, as you said, or maybe which I think comes when you talked about the elevator pitch, and you'd be like, why would I talk about myself? I'm just going to ask those people about themselves. And I think that's I think that's sincere. And I also think it came from a place of you being like, what do I have to offer? Or, you know, I'm too young and I don't know these things. But that also became your superpower as well, where you're like, oh, people see how you know, she's so engaged and asking lots of questions and like, I want more of this person.
I know. So listen to this. It's a very quick story about that. So through my channels and doing what I do, right? I built lots of relationships. And one in particular is this fabulous story with this older gentleman. And we chatted and we first met and something, and he was asking, you know, what do you do? And I told him, you know, I do what I do and people pay me. This is how it is. And he was like, Jillian, you know, that's not, he's like, I'm going to be playing golf with the chairman of Chase later today. How am I going to refer you if I can't even tell him what you do? And I was like, oh, I don't need your referrals. That's not why I'm with you. I said, I have my own referrals. I'm good. And he was like, so shocked, because most everybody was trying to position themselves to get access to the network. And I was not, because I never operated that way. And so it was a bit surprising to him. And in the context of it, he was surprised. But, you know, I can understand a listener might be like, yeah, I sound like a punk ass, but it wasn't. It was just like, no, that it was genuine. Like, that's not why I'm here, kind of thing. So he and I became going colleagues to then became friends. And eventually, like, I don't know, a year later or something, we were sitting for coffee chatting. We were talking about things and he was just describing things. And then he said, yeah, Jillian, and you know, you do what you do. And I was like, see? And it was just a funny moment because he finally got it of seeing this thing, this whole thing evolve. So anyways, it's like, I'm not sure if that story kind of sticks without adding all the extra context around it, but it came to mind when you were sharing about that. Yeah.
No, it's perfect because you're like, yeah, you see, I do what I do. And that's how you explain it. And
Yeah.
I wonder now, because you've moved also into the sustainability space. And tell me a little bit about that, because the Jillian Group now seems to do more of the sustainability consulting.
Yeah. So that was what you had alluded to, that there's more in that last click of my story and moving here and all of those things. So I had mentioned that we were doing marketing related stuff. And then I had done the Six Sigma training and began incorporating process improvement to try to bring more than duct tape to these clients' buckets. So over the last few years, I still felt like I was out of sync. Like my business was not in alignment with my personal values as much as I wanted, especially post-COVID, especially now being older, being a mom, all of these things, my time is much less. I felt like a significant jolt forward, like a very solid sense of, if I'm going to spend my time doing anything, it needs to freaking matter. It can no longer just be about growing a business or helping to grow a company. It's not enough. We need to grow responsibly, right? So I didn't know that. It took me quite a few years of, you know, trying to figure out what's my next thing. And then earlier this year, I completed a course at MIT for sustainability and industry. And that helped to bring all the pieces together for me. And through that, I then was reintroduced to the B Corp movement. And so that was the final click and it all made sense. So for me now moving forward, it's it's sustainability, but more in a holistic sense. So still operating from my point of kind of management consulting and looking at a business holistically, right? So I understand marketing. I really enjoy process improvement. And the sustainability piece for me, it's like, yes, it's all about helping companies to grow sustainably and equitably. So it's not grow at all costs. It just can't be business as usual anymore. So that's this next iteration for me. So yes, stepping into sustainability.
Okay. And the Jillian Group, when it was 40 people and you were doing all these speaking engagements, how would you rank that in terms of its sustainability?
So actually that's a fabulous question. So right around the 40 people mark, I had some of the guys on my team start asking if they could come on, because those were all contractors. Everybody on my team, except for myself, was a contractor. And at that time, I was like at one of those classic kind of forks in the road. And I had a couple guys on my team that wanted to come on full time with me. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Because like, I wanted to, but I had this like pit in my stomach because exactly what your question was. I had the sense that my business model was not sustainable. And, you know, when I was starting to grow, like I remember hiring my first person. I was like, can I afford to pay her $35 an hour? She was like a very senior seasoned business person. I'm like, at the time, like, can I afford? And then within a year, my payroll hit 20,000 a month. And I was like dying. I was like, what the hell just happened? You know? But I began to realize it was like when it was 8 people, 10, 15 people, it was like super motivating for me because I am not motivated by like making myself a millionaire. That's like just not interesting to me. But to be able to create a business that creates professional opportunities for people and helps give them, you know, additional cash for their families, that's very motivating. But then at 20 people, 25, 30, it started to feel like, holy cow, there's a because I didn't have a conventional business model, I just was getting referrals. And I thought, God, I don't know if that this is sustainable. So then I told the guys, I can't commit to that. I just don't think I just can't. So I didn't. And one of them then left and had to go took another full-time job. And the other one has stayed with me all of these years. He's been with me for 9 years. Mark is the best thing ever. But anyhow, yeah. So I felt my business model wasn't sustainable. However, ironically, I have had clients on retainer. So yeah, so just speaking super candidly, flexing my Dutch here. I did not onboard a new client. I have not onboarded a new client since 2016 because I've had clients on
Right.
retainer all of these years. I literally just a few weeks ago wrapped up my last one, which had been with me for 10 years. So I felt like interesting because I thought at the time my business is not sustainable, but not realizing that it kind of was because I actually had them on retainer, but I was still early on. I didn't know that there were so many would stay with me for so many years. Anyhow, so there's one way to answer your question. Not sure if it's where you were going, but.
Wow, we were going to wherever here is. So that's perfect.
All right.
So now you said you just wrapped up with your last client. So now you are free from clients.
Yes. It's really scary and amazingly refreshing and like freeing both at the same time.
So,
Yes, correct.
and what do you want to do with this clean slate?
With this clean slate. So, like I was saying earlier, I really enjoy helping companies to grow so long as it's growing responsibly, right? And you could interchange the words responsibly, sustainably, and equitably. Those three words are all kind of hand in hand. So as like a tentacle of that, for companies who aspire to achieve B Corp certification, we can help them through that process. So that is one piece that's probably the easiest to articulate, especially to somebody that knows what a B Corp is. That's part of it, but that's the easiest tentacle I threw you.
Well, I'm going to reject that tentacle outright.
Okay.
No, here, hold on, because let me explain that.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm interested in, and also be, you know, I'm not a business guy, but what interests me, or what where I think there's some clarity to be drawn, to be created, is you've had a really interesting life, and you've done a lot of cool stuff, and you're at a really interesting point, and I think you have been since you made this decision to move to Europe, you have a kid, move to Europe, shave your head, wind up all your work with all your clients. And to me, the idea of how you frame that, I think is really interesting. And that's why I don't reject the tentacle. I'm sort of putting that aside because I think the core story that you have is actually really interesting. And it's not something you need to share necessarily, but I think if you can really harmonize the professional side with the personal side, I think there's a lot of value to be gained there. Plus, and we might come back to this as well, I get the sense that there should be more speaking engagements and more workshops and that kind of thing in your portfolio of work that you do. And I think having this really strong story will help.
I appreciate that very much. And I want to say, I hope so too. And I'm like, that's kind of a weak word. Like, that's the direction I'm aspiring to go in, is exactly that. All the things you said, the reason for this kind of this iteration here, this pivot, in some ways, painful pivot, scary ass painful pivot, is because of what I had already said, that I just felt like somewhere along the way, my business was not in alignment with my personal values. And it was very important for me. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's the cliche thing, like I became a mom and now all of a sudden I have this different perspective, or if it's, or living, you know, post COVID, or being in a new country in a new, completely different culture, or the fact that the earth is literally on fire and all of these other things. Yeah. And like times, like having so much less time and energy now and all of these things, it's like so important for me to make sure I spend it in places that are really going to create impact. And I feel like, I love the word impact, but I feel like it's being a bit overly used now, kind of like value. It's like, I want to bring value. Yes. I want to create impact. Yes. Like, I want to do things that matter, right? I need to account for my time. I need to be paid and things like that. But it's not just about making a buck for myself or for a client. It needs to be more than that. Like I said, it can't just be the typical, you know, business as usual. So some of the pieces we've talked about that are at play now that are opportunities and challenges for me, I always resisted, like, I guess, like the idea, how do I want to say, like, because of the thing that I feel like I'm best at, because I've been able to build relationships with clients in the past, I was able to get 360 views of their companies and figure out a lot of things that were going on. And so the more trust that was built, the more visibility I had, and the more opportunities to address things. And so that's the world I've been in for all of these years. And suddenly, you know, in the US market, yeah, I had a lot of relationships, and just context mattered a lot, because certain places you were at, certain groups, like it was like networks, and it just happened that way. And suddenly I'm here kind of starting from building from the ground floor, right? So it's tricky because people don't have the context about me. So then if they don't have the context about me, what do they have? It's like, what can you do for me? It's like, what's your skill? What's your thing? Like, tell me about the tool that you have in your toolbox. And I feel like all of those tools matter, but without context and trust, then it's difficult. So it's, so I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking all of this, but it is kind of new terrain, because I'm still doing the same type of work, but in a slightly different way, or maybe completely different way, with some different language. Is that clicking? Is that making sense?
So absolutely. And there's a saying from, you know, Johan Cruyff, the Dutch footballer from the 70s and the, I think, the early 80s, the total football era. There's a Dutch expression, Elke nadeel heeft zijn voordeel, which is every disadvantage has its advantage. And that was, you know, one of the things that I've retained, piece of knowledge from him, or a piece of perspective. And I think, you know, when I think of you sort of, you know, starting from the ground up here, and the decision that you've taken to, you know, wind up what you do well and what you'd built successfully because it didn't align with your values. And I think it doesn't sound like it was greatly discordant. You didn't like work at a, you know, at like an oil company that was burning the rainforest or something. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't totally in sync, and I need to take some time for me. And, you know, and you identified, you know, COVID and family and, you know, the earth on fire and, you know, all of these things. And so what you've done is then you said, okay, so I've kind of gone into this, you know, cocoon, almost this hibernation, this the chrysalis of transformation, and have come out still with all of these skills that you have, this, the content, and what is it, trust, and as a connector with all of this rich business experience. And now you're focusing it like a laser on building and growing sustainably.
Yes.
And I think that in itself, and you know, when you have the details, you know, you need to draw on the details and the proof points and everything. But that story itself is, I think, powerful. Mm. And you said, you know, what about becoming a mom? And, you know, is that cliche? No, of course it's not, because it's your lived experience. Mm-hmm. And it comes from a real place in you where you're like, wait a minute, I was working, you know, 60 hours a week and, you know, I was flying here and there. And then I got pregnant and I'm like,
whoa.
You know, and you could talk about, you know, this is something I wanted, or this is something I didn't want, or this is something I didn't think, like, whatever it is, that's the true part of your, you know, your story, that then, you know, and then it all leads naturally, and we can see the sequence, or you can see the sequence, which I think is, you know, the most important audience at the moment, that brings you to where you are. And then you're like, you know, when you, not all of that iceberg needs to land in the drink of the person you're talking to, right? But you're like, I'm Jillian, and I connect people, you know, I work with companies that want to grow sustainably. And that's all, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, because I care about doing what matters. That was something that you said earlier. And I think that is the entry point, or the access point, or, you know, the harmonization of a bunch of things that have gone on in your life is really powerful, because it's so authentic. And then that's not even getting into the wealth of skills and experience and, you know, the stores of knowledge and the connections and all of that stuff that you have that bring real practical value, but just on like a human level, it's just, for me, it's very clear. Yeah. It's simplified. Mm. I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's like that, those plot points sort of bring me right to like, this woman is worth getting to know. And then you, as a professional handshaker, you know, the connector of people, you can do all of that work. And I think it's just realizing how well aligned you've made your story and your life and your professional choices through the wild growth and the painful transition, and now to be where you are on the first steps, or, you know, not really the first steps, but like the, not the precipice, but the vanguard, having crossed the bridge to the new land. And you're like, okay, I want to do everything I can to help you do what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. Just one quick thing I'll just toss out there. I think that's also saying this to help remind myself too. And it's like, it's official now because it's being recorded. So when I first was like starting my agency, my 1.0, as I had mentioned, I didn't realize I was, you know, starting. So I just was fielding these requests and this kind of thing. And so early on, I actually never had taken a marketing class before starting a marketing agency. I just kind of figured it out. But that was how I would show up in my relationships and in the prospect calls. And then for the duration of the relationships, those engagements, I would always like pay extreme attention to what was going on, ask questions, and I was resourceful, but I was super transparent. If I didn't know something, I would figure it out, or I would, you know, find a resource for that. I didn't really think twice about it. I just operated that way. But looking back, I can now appreciate, wow, that must have been can imagine that probably is what helped to build more trust, is that they all felt like I wasn't just trying to sell them on the thing that I had. And it's like that whole analogy about, you know, if I'm a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And I never wanted to be in that space. I never wanted to have a thing to sell, because then it kind of influenced my relationships with people, and I didn't want it to be, you know, misconstrued or anything. I was like, I genuinely care more about the client and what it is that they need. So I'm sharing that because in a way I'm kind of hoping or expecting or planning for that tactic to be prominent in my 2.0, because some of the things from 1.0 I'm discarding and some things are staying. I think this is one that will stay, and it's helpful for me to remember it because I think it's valuable. But I'm sharing it because there's a tendency that I've had to feel like, yikes, I'm you know, stepping into this new space and I'm a rookie at it and I have to wait until I learn all this more stuff and become a sustainability expert before I can get back out there. But I also, like, if somebody were saying that to me, I would tell them, yeah, but it's not really about you. It's about the client, remember? So it's like, yes, Jillian, it's not about you. Whack, it's about the client and showing up in the same way. However, it's also true, going back to the pitch thing, they need to feel like you have a thing or you have some skill or some tool or some way to help them. It can't just be, oh, you seem nice. Great. Come work with our company. There needs to be some teeth in there as well, you know?
Yeah. And I think the people who need me will find me, or the people I like working with, or, you know, the work I do will, you know, stand as its own testament and that kind of thing. And that sort of works, but it also, it needs to be backed up a little bit by, like, I understand what value I can bring to you. And I maybe don't cold call you and open with that necessarily, but, you know, and I guess it's like, you know, a little bit with your friend who, you know, you sort of rebuffed his offer to give you a referral.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm totally endorsing, you know, I'm in favor of whatever works for you. That makes me very nervous though. Like that kind of, for me, where I'm like, oh no, if someone, I would like to be able to articulate it.
Yeah.
But as a point of integrity and where that stands with you, I think that's great to, you know, to stick with what works for you. But I don't think that should be used as an excuse to not know what value you offer.
Which is why I need to do this pitch polish situation now, because what it's like classic, what got me here is not sufficient to carry me into 2.0, right? So I can still, like, I can still utilize the same things I did before in building relationships and creating trust and all that, but I can't be the one hit wonder. You know, I need to bring a little bit of professionalism to this 25 years in. So I do need to, you know, hunker down and go to business 101, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
And actually spend time looking at what is the pitch and all of those things. And it's scary. It feels like it feels new and scary. And it feels limiting. It's like, okay, picking my target audience and all of these things. But I also am excited for it because I really aspire to be in a more proactive stance than being so reactive, which is what happened by being, you know, doing business based only on referrals for, you know, I mean, really 25 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. That's great. But maybe, yeah, that's something to be not discarded, but because referrals are great. But that thing where you're like, okay, no, now I lean into proactivity.
Yes.
And it also, I think a word that occurred to me earlier that I think fits into part of your story is intention.
Mm.
Because I think there was an element when I hear you talk, you're like, I do what I do and it just happened. And then I kind of accidentally started an agency and I didn't go to marketing, you know? And I think there's this whole theme of all of that work, you know, and then we grew to 40 people, you know, where none of it was really intentional.
Right.
And, or at least the way you communicate it. And, you know, that doesn't sound great. You know, that doesn't reflect great necessarily on you, but Elkanah Dale Hefts in Fordale. And you say like this, it didn't resonate. I realized it was, you know, I was being reactive. I was being led by the business. And I got to this point where I wasn't sure that this was actually what I wanted. And I, you know, step back, took all of the major painful changes. And, you know, and it's like now what's changed is the intentionality, or, you know, my decisions are what govern how I show up professionally, how I show up for my clients, what I do for my work behind the scenes, all of these things. It's really, this is something that though I had great success and I'm really happy with, you know, and here's the book of the 7 lessons I learned, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the change that I've made is to show up deliberately and do the things that that I want to do, the work that matters to me.
Yes, absolutely. Intention's a great word. It went from, I accidentally slipped on a banana peel and grew my team to 40 people. Whoop. Like, how did that happen? It's It does sound crazy, but that's what happened. Yeah, it was like a lot of work. It was a wild ride. But now it's very much about intention. And so I need to then be intentional about all those pieces, including the pitch.
Yeah.
So your book, The Confident Presenter, and honestly, so much of your content and is really helpful. And I'm so glad that we connected, that we first met and that we stayed in touch and to get to know each other better. I think I love the combination of skills that you bring to the table. I also appreciate the improv piece. I am very green with that, but I did take an improv course before.
Yes, you
And
did.
I did an 8-week course, which is great. So I really appreciate that the flexibility, the creativity, and also like the confidence and posture to stand in that when you're in improv, and how much that translates to speaking, either I would say on a stage or even in relations with one person or whomever. I think it's a great, it's a fantastic skill set to have. And I appreciate that. So you have excellent content, and I appreciate every chance I have to read or to listen. I also have listened to some of your other podcasts as well. I appreciate you. Yeah. Anyway, I actually loved, I think it was your last episode or a couple episodes ago, you talked about Annie Lamott and her book. And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually reading that. It's like, ah. And then you had this fabulous word about sporter. You're talking about sports and you're like, sporter. Is that? I'm like, yes, sporter, baby. So anyway, if people are listening and they didn't hear, go listen to sporter. It's a good, your yoga episode, actually. It was excellent. So,
oh, there you go. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was very, very mellow.
Yeah, I liked it.
Very. Oh, good. Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you, Jillian. And we are winding up, but I don't want to leave our session unfinished. And I know that, of course, we will have more conversations after this. And there's lots of stuff for you to develop and for us both, frankly, you know, to keep working on. But I'm wondering if there's, you know, I'm not sure what the question is. It might be something like, did you get out of this conversation useful stuff or what you were looking for? And maybe the second part of that question, or you can answer whichever part you choose, is what are you going to do from here based on what we've talked about?
Sure. So I was encouraged that you kind of picked up on and highlighted the intentionality theme, and also this kind of coalescing of my personal story, my personal journey, my personal life with my business decisions, and making that a piece of my story. That was helpful. That's a helpful kind of insight, I suppose. And then the intentionality piece also. And so thinking about it as a shift from, the organic world, the reactive organic world, to the proactive world of being intentional. That's that delineation. So that's great. And as far as what I'm going to do from here is I have the frameworks from the workshop that you gave us, the frameworks to create the pitch. And I need to revisit that because it's been quite a bit of time since then and a lot has evolved for me. So I do need to revisit that and start to, you know, get my some drafts together and start playing with them, because I'm now having a lot of these conversations. Yeah. So I need to get better at that front. What do you do? I have to get clear on that. I have to get a more succinct way to describe it without giving the whole context up front, because they're not asking for that right now, just the little bit.
Yeah.
So I need to revisit that and put in the work so I can come up with some drafts and start playing with them to see what clicks. So that's my homework.
That's great. I co-sign on that as homework. And I also co-sign on that idea of us as people. What you said, I still have that homework that you gave us, or those frameworks, but I need, a lot has gone on since then. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really valuable point. Cause even for me, in terms of how I talk about what I do, and, you know, I think for anyone really, you know, it's not like, oh, I have this pitch. I guess if you sell, I don't know, bananas or laptops or whatever, maybe you just have
standard
a pitch and it doesn't change. But for us, you know, who are people and the services we provide. And I think I'd argue even for the bananas and the laptop people, you want to keep those flexible, keep them pliable, and keep them relevant to the circumstances you're in professionally and in your own life, and then in the one-on-one circumstances. So you're not, you know, as you say, getting into an elevator and just like opening your mouth and reciting some pitch that you wrote down somewhere, but rather responding to the the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, exactly that, to revisit it. And even if, I think for anybody that's even selling the same thing or whatever, there are times when you're, even if you're selling the same thing, you're now working on a project related to it or on a new market, or like there's something new about it. That's, you know, selling laptops, but we've been focusing on, you know, after school programs or whatever it is. So there's a, another lens that's added to it. I think that's helpful. And that's where I'm at. So I'm going to work on that. It's pretty great.
Cool. Well, Jillian, I want to say thank you for being a guest on Remote Pep Talks, thank you for being a guest on Remote Pep Talks, Project Pitch Polish. And I also want you to share with people the best ways that they can get in touch with you or find out about you online.
Sure. So connecting with me on LinkedIn is a great place. I'm the only person in the world with my name, so I'm not hard to find. So send a request to me on LinkedIn. And then on my website is thejilliangroup.com/better. If you happen to be one of those companies that's looking for ways to grow sustainably or responsibly or equitably, there's resources being added to that page regularly. You can check it out, thejilliangroup.com/better.
Wonderful. Jillian, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. It's great to see you.
Likewise. Well, that was delightful. I certainly enjoyed that conversation, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I want to thank Jillian for her time, for coming on the podcast and being part of Remote Pep Talks Project Pitch Polish. And I hope that was useful for her. It's I find it always useful to chat with her. A lot of good insights and, yeah, traveling both ways, hopefully. And I want to thank my man, Josh Boone, Bone 40, for the music, as always. And I want to thank you, the listener, for listening. So thank you very much for coming to Remote Pep Talks and spending a little bit of time with me, with us. So thank you very much for that. I hope it was engaging, entertaining, and a little bit educational. So that's it for this. So get out there and enjoy your day. And because it's happening right now, at this moment, please enjoy the present in which you are now living.